time for the big interview.
What is going on here? I demand an explanation.
The big names, the big news, the biggest stories, the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
You talking to me?
Who do you think you are?
We have a big show for you tonight.
Your money gives you the big thinkers, top experts, the brightest minds.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
And plenty of time to swim in their brain fluid.
Oh, my.
So listen and learn and enjoy the big interview.
The eyes of the nation are on us right now.
Whatever. Fun will now commence.
And this morning, I can promise you, we're going to have a lot of fun because we're talking about a subject that I think is near and dear to everybody, that being your home. And I think you're going to like the news you get here because my guest is Gary Smith, who, along with his wife, Margaret, is co-author of a book called Houseonomics. Houseonomics, Why Owning a Home is Still a Great Investment. And I think just the title would make folks happy. But I think you go a lot further. I think we're going to go a lot further than just the title here. Mind you, if you want information on the book, it's easy. It's houseonomics.com, which is the word house, and then onomics, as in economics, houseonomics.com. And you can go there for more information. We, of course, will link that up to the yourmoneyradio.com website. Gary Smith, welcome to Your Money Radio.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, we have a lot of folks these days who are not feeling like their house is such a great investment. They've seen things change. They have seen market conditions go to where they're a lot more nervous. They have read the statistics. They're watching the foreclosure stuff go on. And yet you still have sort of one overriding message in the book, and it goes like this.
There's no place like home.
There's no place like home.
That's for sure.
Why, with all the negativity that's been coming out, make the case why, hey, your home is still your best investment?
Well, first, there's two components to home ownership. One is just the psychological benefits. I dropped my kids off at school today, and I drove home, and just driving up the street and seeing my home, it just made me feel good. And I walk in the door, and it's mine. And you can really love a home a lot more than you can love stocks and bonds and bank accounts. And then there's the investment aspect, which is, for most people, historically, homes have been the best investment they've ever made. And I think for most of the country, that's still the case. And what you got to get your mind around is the gloom and doom that TV shows and, excuse me, radio shows and the Internet try and sell. You know, what sells papers, if it bleeds, it leads. And a lot of the stuff you read is kind of scary. But I think what you think of, the way you should think about it is the way a value investor would think about stocks, and there's a lot of morals there. One is that all real estate is local, and so if you live in Indianapolis or you live in Boston or you live in Atlanta, what do you care about home prices in Las Vegas or Miami Beach or places like that? The same way in the stock market, if you're thinking about buying Apple stock, what do you care about General Motors? And so You gotta focus on your hometown. What matters is home prices in your hometown.
Well, that's true, and the flip side of that is that over the course of a lifetime, I mean, I consider my in-laws, who my father-in-law died recently, my mother-in-law is still in the house that they owned for, you know, 50 years.
Probably the best investment they ever made.
Well, it's tough to determine that. They live outside of Rochester, New York.
Right.
And I know that their home, you know, 5 or 10 years ago was worth a lot more than it's worth today. It's still worth a lot more today than it was
50 years ago.
But you know,
the thing is, as a value investor, what you got to think about is what? It's the cash flow.
Right.
And so you think about, for 50 years, what have they gotten out of that home besides the home price going up a couple percent a year?
Well, and that's really what a lot of the book is about. There's
exactly.
Something that you call the home dividend.
Exactly.
And I think it's a very interesting way for people to think about their home from an investment standpoint that it really isn't stated anyplace else. So explain for my audience what the home dividend is and why this is the key consideration when it comes to your house.
Well, let me step back a minute, okay, because my wife and I did the study of the housing market for the Brookings Institution. And one of the discussants there is a famous professor of real estate at Columbia. He talked about Indianapolis, which we had pointed out. We'd argued that Indianapolis was a great place to be a homeowner. And he said, well, let me tell you something. My sister lives in Indianapolis, and home prices there only go up 2% a year. Indianapolis is a terrible place to be a homeowner. And what he's doing is just looking at prices going up a couple percent a year over time. But we went back and we looked at our data again, and we picked a place. It's called Fishers, Indiana. And it's a nice little suburb outside Indianapolis. The median family income is $80,000 a year. It's twice been selected as one of the top 50 places in the U.S. to live. And you can rent a home there for about $1,250 a month, a nice three-bedroom, two-bath, 2,000-square-foot home. Or you can buy it for $135,000. And when you're thinking about what rate of return you're going to get on that investment buying that home, you got to think about two things. One is you're not putting up the whole $135,000. You're going to put up $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 in your down payment. And so you got to look at your rate of return on your equity as opposed to your rate of return, as the rate of increase in the price of the house.
Right.
So if the price goes up by 2% a year, but you've got 5-to-1 leverage, meaning that your down payment is 20% of the value of the house, that 3% a year on the $135,000 house is a 15% after-tax rate of return on your equity. That's the first thing. And the second thing is you're saving yourself $1,250 a month, $15,000 a year in rent by living in that house. And you look at you still got to do the mortgage payments, and you got to do the property taxes, and you got to do the maintenance, and then you got to look on the other side of the balance sheet. You got to look at the tax advantages, the tax breaks you get from being a homeowner. And when you do the numbers, it works out to you're making about $5,000. You're saving yourself about $5,000 a year,
right?
Positive net cash flow, which we call the home dividend, which is your rent savings minus your mortgage payments, minus your property taxes, minus your maintenance, minus your home insurance, plus your tax breaks. And it's $5,000 to $6,000 a year that is in your bank account that wouldn't be there if you were not a homeowner. And $5,000 to $6,000 a year on a $27,000 investment, because remember that's your down payment. $5,000 to $6,000 a year on a $27,000 investment. And there's nowhere you're going to be able to do as well as that, except, you know, you buy a lottery ticket and you strike it rich. But this does not rely on blind luck or good fortune. It's just you live in a sensible place, you buy a sensible home, you make your mortgage payments, and down the road you're doing great.
Well, and
the numbers get better. Let me say also, the numbers get better over time because the rent savings are going up and the mortgage payments aren't. And so it starts out you're saving yourself $5,000 to $6,000 a year, and then a couple of years down the road you're saving $7,000 to $8,000, and a couple of years $10,000 to $15,000, and when the mortgage is paid off after 30 years, you're saving yourself $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year in rent, and it's just it's an absolutely wonderful investment. And people who say, well, I have these in-laws that live in Rochester and prices have only gone up a couple percent a year, or I have a sister who lives in Indianapolis, prices have only gone up a couple percent a year, they're missing the whole point of home ownership, which is you got to live somewhere. And it's often a lot better to be a homeowner than to be a home renter.
Well, and as I would point out about my in-laws, is that they didn't buy the house to be an investment. They bought it to be a
exactly.
use asset.
Exactly.
And that's all they ever wanted it to be.
That's right.
Is that part of the problem that we have, though, is that today, with all of the house flipping that's going on, with the tremendous runs that we had seen in appreciation and everything else, that too many people don't think of their house first as a use asset?
Exactly. And, we talk about value investor, and so you think about the stock market, and the analogy is to the day traders in the stock market who are trying to flip stocks, and they're not flipping them like homes. People try and flip them by the year or the month or the week. And in the stock market, you got people trying to flip stocks by the day or the hour or the minute, and that's not investing. That's just, it's pure speculation. And the problem with these house flippers is they'd go out and they'd buy one or two or three or four or five homes, hoping to sell them a short while later for a profit, and there was no cash flow. They weren't renting out the properties. They weren't doing anything except hoping to sell them to a bigger fool than themselves. And of course, when home prices stopped going up, they got burned. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about people like your in-laws and this guy's sister and myself and maybe yourself too. People who buy a home and they live in it, they make their mortgage payments, and they build their wealth month by month, year by year.
My guest on Your Money Radio is Gary Smith. He is co-author with his wife, Margaret, of Houseonomics, Why Owning a Home is Still a Great Investment. And if you want more information on the book, it is houseonomics.com.
Now, I had one more thought about value investing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, in value investing, when's the best time to be a buyer? It's when there's more sellers than buyers. And the best time to be a seller is when there's more buyers than sellers. And right now, it's a buyer's market. There's more sellers than buyers. And now is potentially a great time to buy a home. It doesn't mean just buy it blindly, but you sit down like it and do the calculations like we did for Fishers, Indiana, or Claremont, California, or Boston, Massachusetts, or you know, wherever you live. Do the calculations for what my cash flow is going to be from owning a home at today's prices, where you're in the driver's seat, and you have the upper hand in the negotiation. And now could be a great, great time to be a homeowner, to be a home buyer, and to be a homeowner.
Well, and let's point out that when you talk about there is that difference between home buyer and home owner in terms of how you act.
Yes.
Part of this book is not book is not suggesting, as you pointed out, you don't particularly like the flippers out there.
Not at all.
This book
no sympathy for them.
This is not really suggesting that, oh, by the way, if owning one house is a great investment, owning five, even if you're not flipping them, is five times as good. Because functionally, that home dividend calculation that you talk about, well, I'm only really getting the rent portion of the savings on one home. I mean, unless
exactly.
I have some reason to live in multiple places.
Exactly. Our message is mainly for people starting out in life, and they're thinking about buying a home and thinking about all the psychological pleasures, and they're scared to death about what they read in the newspapers, and trying to get them to think about this thing as, think about what your cash flow is going to be in the long term. Think about all the rent you're going to save. And maybe in your area it doesn't make sense. Maybe prices are too high. But in most of the country, and certainly in the heartland, prices are not too high. You're much, much better off being a homeowner than being a home renter.
Is there the other side to this? I mean, how do you take it where somebody has not necessarily gone out intending to flip, but, you know, at some point, if we are in the midst, and we are in the midst of a real estate bubble sort of bursting, and we see that turn around, and we know how markets cycle. I mean, when I moved to Boston in 1994, my boss was underwater on his mortgage.
Did you buy a condo?
No, I didn't. I bought my house. Sure, okay. I rented for about a year trying to figure out where, because I'd never commuted in the area before.
Yep.
Once I found the area, we bought a house.
Yep.
But my boss at the time was underwater. And I know folks who bought in and sort of they wanted to have a house. They bought something small. Market appreciation allowed them to buy the next one and the next one. And it's always been an asset for them to live in. And it wasn't necessarily that it made them tremendous money, because functionally it just sort of allowed them to upgrade. How does that fit in? Since the basic strategy is, hey, buy a home, make it a great investment, hold it, you know, get that home dividend.
Yep.
How do you rework the math if you're going to, you know, as one of my neighbors did, they moved basically across town and three times, and, you know, ours, the house in our neighborhood was the third one after a couple of upgrades.
Well, a couple of things. One, go back to the value investing thing, which is Warren Buffett says my favorite holding period is forever. And I've seen people, I haven't lived in Boston, but I've seen people out here in the LA area, and we had a housing bust a while back. And I saw these people panic. The value of their house dropped 10%, and they sold their house, and waiting until prices dropped 90%. Of course, they never did. Prices came back up again, and by the time they realized that prices were not going to drop, it was too late to buy back the home they used to own. And panic selling is not a rational response in a weak market. And in the long term, as I say, you're going to be better off with a home dividend. The second thing is, in terms of trading up, I'd say every step of the way you got to think about, what am I getting in terms of cash flow from living in this bigger house or this different house? And sometimes it doesn't make sense. I know a lady out here who's she lives in a 4,000 square foot house, and she lives there all by herself, and it's a nice house, and the price is firm, and she's happy with it. But in terms of what she's saving in rent, she doesn't need a 4,000 square foot house, and she could be perfectly happy in a much smaller house. On the other hand, you've got I don't know your personal situation, but you get somebody who marries, and then they have kid and another kid and another kid and another kid. And of course it makes sense to trade up and to go to bigger and bigger homes. But every step of the process, the way to think about it is, we need a bigger home. What would it cost us to rent a bigger home? What would it cost us to buy a bigger home? And that's the calculation.
Does that work the flip side? I mean, you gave the example of the woman who doesn't necessarily, you know, because a lot of people want to downsize.
And that makes all the sense in the world. I mean, she's making mortgage payments on a 4,000 square foot home that she doesn't need. And if she would downsize to a 2,000 square foot home, the rent savings would be exactly the same because she doesn't need that big a home. The mortgage payments would be half the size, and she could take a lot of her equity and invest it in something else. And so when you want to downsize for demographic reasons, I'm all for it. If you want to downsize because you're trying to time the market, I'd say that's a risky thing to do.
We are coming up on the end of our time, and
I went fast.
Well, it always does. There is another show on this station in the afternoon where I would say that the host has what I call man with a hammer syndrome. To a man with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And in this guy's case, every problem looks like it can be solved with a reverse mortgage. You know, one of the things that your book talks about is, well, a house is a great investment, and at the same time, it's sort of buy it, hold it, don't touch it, don't borrow against it, don't do those other things. Do you mess up the equation when you wind up taking money out on your house?
Well, there's a couple things. One is the people who think of their home as an ATM, and so they're 20 or 30 years old, and they buy a house, and it goes up in value, and they keep borrowing more and more money against it, and that is not a good thing unless they're borrowing money for something they really need, like to pay for the kids to go to college. But if you're borrowing money against your home for a second car, a third car, a fourth car, or too many vacations, or a lifestyle you really can't afford, that's a bad thing. On the other hand, if you think of your home as a home retirement account, where you're building up equity, you're building up this valuable asset, this thing that's going to save you rent when you're retired, and you get to the point where you are retired and you're living in a home which is quite valuable, in a home that has all these memories and all the psychological benefits, and you don't want to leave, a reverse annuity mortgage can actually be a good thing. The problem historically with reverse annuity mortgages is that the fees were just excessive. They were so rare, and some of the lenders frankly took advantage of the people that needed the money. And so you got to think about what the terms are. But you've got, the book talks about, you know, personal experience. The neighbor I had across the street in Houston who was living in a $500,000 home and couldn't buy food.
Right, and you have to find a way to turn this into the best investment of your life. It's Houseonomics, Why Owning a Home is Still a Great Investment. Gary Smith is co-author, and the website for the book, houseonomics.com. Gary Smith, thanks very much for joining us on Your Money Radio.